Well, joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Senator Michael Hastings from Tinley Park. He is the new chairman of the new Senate Energy Committee. And but I want to talk to you about Veterans Affairs first, Senator. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Rick, how are you? Belated happy Easter, happy Greek Easter.
and happy holidays to you, as always. Good to have you on the show. We saw last week a report that a makeover of the Illinois Veterans Home at Quincy could cost as much as $278 million, and that may be the best option to deal with the issues of the Quincy Veterans Home, the fact of the repeated outbreaks of Legionnaires' disease, a disease that claimed 13 lives there, continued problems with obtaining information about what exactly is going on down there with email redactions and things involving the Governor Rauner administration. How do you see moving forward on this issue?
I see more confusion on the part of the executive branch, but just to paint the picture for the listeners, Rick, for people who don't know, I mean, over the last 3 years, there's been 13 veterans and that have passed away, died from Legionnaires' disease. Four more cases were revealed during, actually while we were holding a committee meeting and a committee hearing on this. And then all of a sudden, in the last month, we have an outbreak of norovirus. I mean, if it's not clear to the administration that something is going on at that home and they need to fix it, something's wrong. But, you know, their estimations in terms of how much the cost to repair, you know, the veterans home, it's ranged now from $25 million to $285 million. It just seems to me to be a joke, especially the way they're handling this, and especially the way they're providing information to the legislative body. It's just very secretive.
What do you think should be done? Should those veterans be taken out of there and moved into a new facility? I know that there is some kind of facility that's available that the state could purchase that's in Quincy.
Yeah, you know, this is someone's home, and that's probably the hardest part about it, is when you're moving people who are there long term, moving them from their home, it's a very difficult process,
and they're very frail.
People are dying, people are getting sick, and so you got to be very delicate about it. But you know, $265 million to repair it when we have a $70 million Chicago veterans home that's stalled, a brand new one for that matter. You know, sometimes you got to cut what you got to cut and move to, you know, move these people out so there's no more issues. And quite honestly, I don't know why the governor's not doing that. But then again, the governor seems to be just inundated with a lot of other things. And I said this before, I think 2-3 years ago, Rick, when I was on the show, he's just unfit to lead state government.
Do you know about how many veterans live at the Quincy Veterans Home?
Yeah, there's about 350 people live there. The buildings are about 109 years old. So it's obviously an older facility, and it's a great community. I mean, Adams County, just going down there and seeing it, it's just a beautiful place. So I can tell you the staff at this facility are first rate. But, even the staff at the facility, we had them in our testimony, or they gave testimony at our hearing, and, you know, we've had staff that were in, that contracted Legionnaires' disease, and honestly, the staff, the first time the outbreak happened, they really didn't know anything until they heard about it on Facebook or on the news. I find that very troubling, right?
I mean, that seems to be, you know, I think we have two things at play. Is one is, what do we do to help those veterans in Quincy, but also why was information handled the way that it has been handled?
Ever since 2015, looking at the emails that we had requested, you know, if you compare what was given by the governor's office to what was given by Adams County, it is evident that they're trying to hide something. Half of the 450 pages of emails, half of the information's been redacted. Now, if you look at the Adams County emails that were given to us, I mean, it's, you know, there's really no reason to redact the information. There wasn't any personal information or private information that, you know, that was regulated by HIPAA or anything like that. It's just a clear sign of I think they realized, hey, they made a mistake, and now they're scrambling to fix it. And I think it's too late because, you know, not just one person, not just two people, not three people, but 13 people died. And it's just embarrassing. I mean, the Department of Public Health, you know, the director, he really should be ashamed of himself. And quite honestly, I don't know how he looks himself in the mirror, him and the governor.
Well, one of the things I know that's being talked about now in light of this latest report about an overhaul of the facility is the prospect of a capital bill. And
right.
It seems like there's all kinds of talk about a new public works bill and how desperate the state needs one. And the talk is fine until it gets to the point of, okay, how are you going to fund the thing?
Right. I think that, you know, tying this to a capital bill, this is the governor's way of doing politics. It's just a shame. I mean, he has the ability to move these people right now and pay for, you know, facility for these people to live in safely, and he's just not doing that. And we've been asking questions since 2015 from when the first Legionnaires outbreak took place. Hey, what's the status? We've asked him this in appropriations meetings, and we've been reassured every time that everything is fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not. And it's just a shame, Rick. And some of these people, they really need to either correct it or need to move on from their job.
Do you think it's possible maybe just to do a limited bill only to help fund repairs in Quincy?
I do, but, you know, $265 million is the more cost-effective measure to build something new somewhere else or to repair the existing infrastructure. Like I said, it's 109 years old. You know, some of those pipes, they're old pipes. So, and when you start digging up some of the dirt around the facility, you may be, you know, kicking a hornet's nest. God knows what else is underneath there. And quite honestly, the weather is about to change down there as well. So when it gets hot out, you know, there's no telling, you know, what's going to get warmed up in those pipes. And I think it's, you know, maybe we should start looking at alternative options in a new facility or somewhere where it's safe.
We're speaking with Democratic State Senator Michael Hastings from Tinley Park. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in historic Tribune Tower and historic North Michigan Avenue. We're speaking with Democratic State Senator Michael Hastings from Tinley Park. Senator, I want to switch gears a little bit. I know you were very vocal in opposition to the state of Illinois' participation in the cross-check interstate voter registration system. And we learned later that the state of Illinois, State Board of Elections, did not get any kind of assurances about the security of voter information data that was being shared, and so was basically not going to take part in that program. Where do things stand with that as far as going forward? Do we need the legislation to take us out of it completely, or are you satisfied with what the State Board of Elections is doing?
Right now, the State Board of Elections, I think, took a very positive, they made a positive decision in delaying sending voter data to this multi-state system. Obviously, there were some concerns in terms of the information that we were sending. It was sensitive information. It was unsecured in the way we were sending it. And for whatever reason, the cross-check system wasn't able to provide those assurances. So until we get assurances that we're sending information safely across the internet, you know, they decided not to do it. Now, in the event that they don't provide a secure method for sending sensitive voter information, then we'll go ahead and proceed with some more legislation. I know that Senator Raul, who's a Democratic nominee for Attorney General, him and I are working very closely on this, and we're just watching it, and we're going to see how this goes.
I know, too, you know, there had been concerns about even our own kind of election security, the fact that apparently Russian agents were able to get into the State Board of Elections system. They did not change any data or anything, but perhaps had the ability to see some of the data. And now that there's there seems to be some movement of federal funds to the state. And I know there was an Associated Press report saying that Illinois expects to receive about $13 million in federal funds to help update aging voting machines across the state. But yet in the same case, you've got people and various local elections officials saying that federal money that was used a decade ago to buy machinery, those machines are breaking down, and that $13 million doesn't go very far when it comes to upgrading voting systems. You know, here again, we state that, you know, has a backlog of bills, has a backlog of problems, and it seems like now where kind of scrutiny is on election security more than ever, we don't have the money to be able to help local election officials to be able to have secure voting machines.
Well, first, I think that the State Board of Elections addressed the Russian issue in 2016. I think they did the staff there really did a magnificent job. I know that sometimes there's bipartisanship in the board of the State Board of Elections, but the staff is dedicated to providing safe and secure elections. Now, when they realized what happened, they had really taken some extraordinary measures of shutting down the system and going ahead and evaluating what really happened. Luckily enough, we operate on two separate systems, and they found where Russia was able to come in and infiltrate our system, and they ended up closing that out. It was a very simplistic measure to do, but you know, there's so many things going on. Sometimes some people miss things, but I just want to say thanks to our awesome people. They did a great job. Now, the federal government, times are tough financially, but they're actually proposing a $386 million package to help with an advisory panel and guidelines so that we do have safe and secure elections. I know we'll see maybe not a lot of that, but this is a good start to show that people are serious about fixing this problem.
But it seems like more money is going to be needed. I mean, you're looking at
definitely,
you know, Macon County, which is Decatur, basically saying they spent nearly $500,000 themselves to upgrade before the 2016 election.
Right.
And, you know, even some of the smaller counties say Shelby County, they're trying to find $300,000 to replace machines, but the county itself has a budget deficit.
Yeah, there's this great old fashioned thing called paper, Rick, and it doesn't require money for an upgrade, and it's pretty secure, especially with all the checks and balances. So there's a couple different options. You know, obviously, until they find the money to upgrade their security and their voting machines, they can always revert back to paper. Although some people don't like doing that, especially with the ease of use of electronics. But you know, especially in Illinois, times are tight, and we have our own budget constraints. And but I know this just from leading the investigation as the chairman of the Subcommittee on Cybersecurity, and bringing awareness to this has made people extra vigilant, and they're taking extraordinary measures to protect this system. And it's such a democracy, such a great thing, and I think people understand it, and they're more cognizant of it now. And honestly, I think people are more aware now than ever. And I think that's the first step, is making sure people understand this could happen and do everything we can to protect it.
I'm also on a technology-related issue. I know like over a year ago you had filed a Senate resolution urging the continuation of net neutrality and open internet access, and now I understand there's legislation that states around the country are moving to try to ensure that on their own, and basically to overcome the actions, the federal actions.
You know, this it's going to come down to obviously the Attorney General's lawsuits to see what the decision is going to be. We're dealing with interstate commerce. Are we going to treat the internet as a public utility, or are we going to treat this as an information service? I think these lawsuits are going to determine who has the authority to say whether there's throttling, whether there's prioritization in the internet. And I think, you know, the courts will decide this one regardless of what the states do legislatively. So it's going to be interesting. You know, as a new chairman of the Energy Committee, Rick, I can tell you this. You know, in public utilities, you focus on it more. Is the internet a public utility or is it an information service? And after touring the state and seeing all of our public utility facilities, you know, the internet, the way it grows, the way it transforms, I'm not so sure we should treat it as a public utility. you know, I think it should be treated as something where people should be able to invest in and modernize, especially with the demand.
Well, you mentioned now about being the new Senate Energy Chairman, and I mean, is there also a tie-in here with cybersecurity, since it seems like, you know, some of our power grid, our power systems, a great deal of concern about those being hacked?
Well, I mean, let me tell you, Rick, I went to Braidwood, our nuclear facility. I went to Kincaid, which is a coal-fired plant, visited ComEd's command center. We've been around the entire state. The number one question is how are you protecting the system? And some of the safeguards we have are unbelievable. You know, from a lowly intern at the National Security Agency, when I was there, I had a chance to see some awesome things. But looking at what we have in Illinois is great. Now, are all the protections that we have going to prevent anyone from hacking our system? No. Everyone's going to be vulnerable. Everyone's going to have there's always that possibility of some sort of a breach. But the steps and the seriousness that our staff at those power plants and our power generating companies have, they are so serious. And the last thing they want is to see our lights go out. And that's one thing I'm concerned about. I want to make sure that we do have a safe and secure system, and we'll do everything we can to provide that to the residents of Illinois.
So you're satisfied with the steps that have been taken so far from what you've seen?
From what I've seen, Rick, I tell you what, it would take a sophisticated actor to really penetrate our system. And I could just tell you the protocols and what they do on a day-to-day basis to prevent breaches in the internet or in their computing systems. I mean, there's some pretty sophisticated protocols that they have. And not to mention, the leadership is so cognizant of this. You know, when I went to Braidwood, you know, not only did I have armed guards, you know, because of what's there at Braidwood, you know, their cybersecurity is just first class. But again, nothing's ever perfect. There's always susceptibility, and there's always an opportunity for someone to intrude. But I think we have some good checks and balances that'll prevent that.
Democratic State Senator Michael Hastings from Tinley Park, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, you're the best. You guys have a great weekend. Great to talk to you.
Have a good weekend.